The other two crusading kings, Richard and Philip, departed almost a year later after Frederick's army was well on the way. And as that crusader army was leaving from the ports of southern France, Frederick was drowning out in Asia Minor. Richard was clearly the greater of the two monarchs. Everyone could see it from the start. Philip Augustus was about as glum as his father, Louis VII. Unlike his father, though, Philip was not a pious man. Philip was a cynic at birth. He had a disability. He was blind in one eye. He was not particularly impressive to look at. But as a king, as a diplomat, as a politician, as an administrator, he made the French monarchy. He made the Capetian monarchy in his career, by the time he died in 1223, an effective kingdom. These were, of course, events in the future. But from the start, he saw Richard as a dangerous rival, and he understood that. And he did everything in his power to advance the interest of his monarchy rather than his own reputation. Richard, on the other hand, was having the time of his life. This was what he was made for. He was to go out on crusade, win great victories. He was generous. He had the money to spread around. The fleet sails to Sicily, spends most of its time in Sicily, largely because Richard is extorting money, and his sister's Joanna, her husband, William II, had died, and so Richard intervenes on behalf of his sister and extorts an enormous amount of money from one of the claimants to the throne, a fellow named Tancred of Lecce, to help support his forces. So the French and English kings essentially don't arrive until almost a year later. It's only in the spring of 1191. This is almost 4 years, was it? Battle of Hattin was 1187. It's only until 1191 when those two fleets sail. Philip sailed first. He made immediately for Acre, for Tyre and Acre, immediately put his backing behind Conrad, teamed up with the German crusaders, and was pressing Conrad as his candidate for the throne, and had a certain legitimate claim here, because he was asserting the traditional rights that the king of France had some sort of protectorship over the kingdom of Jerusalem and claimed that most of these people were ultimately his vassals anyway. Meanwhile, Richard was stalled. Richard's fleet sailed somewhat later. He was too busy having a good time in Sicilian ports, especially gambling and pursuing other types of events like jousts and festivals. But when his forces sailed, it was an impressive fleet. And en route, part of his fleet got shipwrecked off the island of Cyprus, which is an island that has figured in this story on a number of occasions. Now, the island of Cyprus at this point, which was technically a Byzantine possession, was in the hands of a rogue Byzantine governor, a guy named Isaac Comnenus, not to be confused with the reigning emperor in Constantinople. He was a remote cousin of the emperor. And he was typical of what I had mentioned in an earlier lecture of these imperial dynasts now trying to carve out their own kind of independent kingdoms. And that's essentially what Isaac did. He had his own little mini-empire in the island of Cyprus, ran around, pretended to be a Byzantine emperor. And when a couple of richer ships got shipwrecked, he immediately arrested the survivors. He tried to lure Joanna, Richard's sister, and Richard's wife, Berengaria of Navarre, whom he had married for political purposes and was on the ship with Joanna, tried to lure him into his power so he could capture him and, I don't know, extort some sort of advantage. It was a very ill-conceived notion. Richard got wind of this, landed on Cyprus, immediately marched to Limassol, the main castle, and there wasn't even a contest. I mean, the Byzantines were just wiped off the field. Richard and his knights seized the island. Well, this is an interesting precedent. To be sure, Richard had been provoked. But here's a case of a crusader king now seizing a Byzantine possession. To be sure, a Byzantine possession in rebellion. It isn't one step away from reasoning of taking Constantinople itself. Richard has a windfall. Cyprus is a very wealthy and rich island. It certainly provides the money and resources necessary for a campaign on the Levantine shore. And what Richard eventually does is he sells it. It eventually gets bought out by none other than King Guy of Lusignan, which we'll get to in a moment. Richard then sailed for Acre, showed up. There was Philip, summer of 1191. And immediately there were disputes between the two kings.